Welcome back to part two of my interview with Leah Segedie.
Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I'm pleased to share with you an interview, multiple part series, with a dear friend and I don't even know how to describe her, but a very passionate food activist and somebody who has spearheaded the non-GMO movement, Leah Segedie. Leah is the founder of Mamavation, and that is an online community of women dedicated to weight loss. I believe, if I'm correct, we talk about it in the show, this group lost a total of over 3,500 pounds collectively from when the program first launched, and Leah shares those details as well as her personal weight loss story in this first part of the interview. She's also the founder of ShiftCon, which is a social media conference featuring some amazing brands that are really dedicated to making very clean, pure, organic, non-GMO foods that you can really feel comfortable giving to yourself and your family. As I mentioned before, she's a passionate food activist. She has been part of, and I'm just going to say, helping to lead this non-GMO movement for years and years and years, well before I ever tuned into why this was important. She's also a social media consultant and just a very busy woman. But I think you guys are going to love many parts of this interview. Today specifically, we talk about Leah's initial weight loss journey, which so many of you moms in particular are going to be able to relate to. What I love most about this story is it's not an overnight success, and I think she's going to be able to share so many tips, real life tips from real life experience of losing over 100 pounds and keeping it off, that so many of you moms, new moms, maybe second, third time moms who are having difficulty getting motivated or having difficulty losing weight will be able to relate to. Please enjoy this interview with Leah Segedie. Picked up, or you know, you're a woman that's become tremendously self-aware, and that is something that I have been working on for the first time really in my life this year. Becoming self-aware, you know, so many people might, it's a little bit of a buzzword, right? Okay, but you have to figure out who you are, what matters to you, and what impact you want to have on your family and your kids. And so I love hearing, and Leah, you've always been that way. I have been a person that's been way too worried about people pleasing, getting everybody's approval. You've been somebody who's okay taking the haters, and that's key. And so number one, you're very self-aware, and that is what's allowed you to propel and keep moving. Number two, and this is, I picked up two or three themes that I love, and you probably weren't organizing it this way, but this is what I picked up. You know, you talked about the fact that you started down your health journey motivated to set an example for your kids. You weren't saying, I want to look this way in the next 30 days for my kids. You were saying, this is life. This is what, that's my long-term goal, and it's about life. And I want to tie this back to something that I attended something here locally in Austin, and you got to look on my Facebook page later today. It's Alex Sharfin. I actually tweeted about him today. He's actually been interviewed on the show by Kevin, Charfen. This guy is, from an entrepreneurial perspective, amazing. And I always say this, people that have been following me for a while, there are so many analogies that if it's good for fitness, you can apply it to business. If it's good for business, you can apply it to fitness. And what he was mentioning was this, he had a whole series, and he was talking that night about transactional leadership versus transformational leadership. And his point, and I'm tying this back to you, Leah, don't worry. His point was, if all you're worried about is your next steps and your tactical steps and what you have to do to get forward to the next week, and you have your head down and you're like transactional, I got to do this. And you're telling people that work for you, you got to do this, this, and this. It's just, it's myopic. It's short-sighted. But when you are, and he used Apple as an example, he said, when you're motivated by a bigger picture, you are actually going to go further and higher than if you just gave somebody that assignment. So think about that in your weight loss story.
Yes.
You weren't just saying, I want to work out for 30 days and see how I can get, you're like, this is life. This is a lifer. And so I want everybody that's listening, that's potentially, especially moms, you know, you're starting down that road. A lot of moms say, I can't work out because I have kids. I can't work out because I have no energy. I can't work out because, you know, well, I've had kids. I need to put my kids first. All three things, all of those arguments are flawed. And if you look at someone like Leah or many other folks that we're going to have on the show, it's not selfish for you to decide you're going to set an example with the way you lead your kids and leading a healthy, and it doesn't mean chicken breasts and broccoli all life. It's great, amazing food, but those are the big things that I picked up. And I know that you and I can, like Leah, we can take several of those.
Yeah, but I think of what you're saying though is to apply that to my real life and how I'm able to go lifestyle versus what you're saying, transactional versus transformational leadership. It's just, you know, if it was only about the details to me, that would give me like something what I would call an eating disorder. Do you know what I'm saying? If it was only about the details for me, it's about, you know, the lifestyle. So even though I sit here and say something to the effect of, you know, eat organic food because there's less endocrine disrupting chemicals in there, I'm saying that to you, but in practical application, when we leave the house and as a family leave the house, I have zero control over that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm also thinking about the mental health of my children. Okay. And because I have children, I have to take that into account. So we leave the house. Do I freak out every time we go to a birthday party and someone busts out a cake? You know, I don't ever do those things like that because I feel that, you know, in my house, we do like the 80-20. Everything we eat is mostly prepared by me. You know, we're doing a really good job in the house. They leave the house and they are free to live their life because I understand that it's about the big picture. Their mental health and their physical health are both important and they impact each other. If I made my kids crazy, then that would impact their health. And I don't want to do that to them, you know? So, you know, it's you got to have those kind of big picture understandings of the world to say when you throw down and when you let things slide and to know the difference, you know what I'm saying? And know what is important and what is not important. And, you know, that's something that, you know, helps me in the home, which is what women really helps them in the home as well. You know, we control what we can control. And I think as women also, we want to control everything, but we really can't control a lot of things. And then when, you know, we're hit with that reality, we're like, meltdown! You know, I had those types of scenarios happened to me for years, you know, where I do something like that I would not recommend for people to do. And I sit there and I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I say, what the hell? Am I perfect? I can't be perfect. And I can't, you know, expect them to do it, you know, and I have to be a little chill with myself as well. And so when people meet me, they're just like, you're incredibly chill about the food. You know what I mean? Like when I'm at restaurants and stuff like that, that's one of the things when we plan ShiftCon, my event planner always says, that's what I love about Leah. And in my opinion, because I'm so stubborn and because I'm one of those immovable people, like I'm stubborn as hell. So to get me to change my lifestyle had to be something dramatic in my life and I had to be motivated, but I had to be motivated. So when I speak to people, my understanding is, you know, unless I have their respect, number one, they're not going to listen to me if I don't have their respect. And number two, unless they give me permission to help them, anything I say to them would not be helpful at all. You know, it would just be obnoxious. And that goes back to when I used to be the person that drank, you know, a 6-pack of Diet Coke a day minimum and ate fast food every day. I didn't want to hear anything about health. I didn't care. I was too busy doing my thing, you know, but when I was ready, I was ready. And in my mind, I went back to all of those people that were health mentors for me back then without understanding that they were ever that person. And I drew from what they did back then that I had in my mind. So my understanding of, you know, being a person in this space is more about creating relationships of respect with people so that when the shit hits the fan and they have that moment where they need help and they reach out to me and Leah, what the fuck do I do? I have that respect from them, and that is the point by which I change them and help them and do all those things. And, you know, I feel really strongly that you have to set a place at the table if you think people are going to have dinner. You know what I mean? Like at ShiftCon, we do ShiftCon, and it's a green conference, and some green people are really annoying, and I know that because I used to hate them. You know what I mean? I was on that side. And what we focus on in ShiftCon is you have to set a place at the table for everybody, or this movement will never grow. There has to be a place at the table. They're not going to come to dinner unless you set a place for them. You have to understand where they're at. You cannot judge them for their lifestyle, their choices. And that, I look back at my life the way I used to be, that helps me look at them and have no judgment and have no like, so like when I would see you, Kelly, I wasn't judging you, but the Diet Coke, like everyone knew that Diet Coke was my thing. So I think like before I would walk up to you, people would probably be like, Leah's coming and her Diet Coke and McDonald's and oh my God, put it away. But I was really careful not to be annoying. I was very careful not to be that person. So I think had I not been, it probably would have been like intolerable, where no one would ever wanted to be my friend if I was constantly in their face with everything I did. Most of the time, what would happen with me at those blogging conferences is people would stare at me and they wanted to see every single thing that I was doing. And they were so interested in what food choices I would make and how I would sit there. And the eyes were on me like crazy. And then you guys were just doing your thing, you know? So I was under a lot of scrutiny every time I did that, but it was the kind that I welcome because I would much rather role model than be obnoxious and scream at people. And, you know, I'm controversial because I take a stand in health and wellness and public health issues. And public health issues are always, you know, people are being polluted and people, that means lower IQs and this and that, and it's happening because of this. And then, and yet that company is, you know, helping people make a living. And so that is how I get controversial, is that, you know, I will say something about a brand that may be paying people to do all kinds of stuff or whatever. And, you know, that's where I get in trouble. But the thing about being controversial is, you know, I never attack people ever. And I'm very uncomfortable. Like, even when, like, there was some scientist, you know, that they discovered through Freedom of Information Act that he had been very close with Ketchum, people in Ketchum, and they were basically telling him what to say about, you know, GMOs and all this stuff. And I retweeted something or I shared something on my wall that was about him. And after that happened, I felt awful because that was attacking a person. Even though I just shared it, I didn't write it or anything like that. I felt awful. And I always felt like that guy deserved my apology. And he may listen to this one day and know who he is. And I will say, I'm sorry I did that, because that was attacking a person. But I'm about public health issues. And if you're talking about things that are just true and you speak truth to power, there's always going to be people that are upset. Always. And I feel, because I've been kind of so controversial since the beginning, you know, I'm more used to getting attacked than the average person is. And over the years, as I've known people and seen these little baby bloggers grow up to be big bloggers and stuff, they will come to me and ask me, how do I deal with this? And, you know, I really love to help them do that, because, you know, being a person in social media and being controversial is not something that I would recommend for anybody. You know, it's a very, very unique person that can handle that type of focus on your life and that type of critique. But really what it's about is, I understand who I am. I understand my weaknesses and my strengths. I understand both of them. You know, I always get in trouble based on my weaknesses, but I understand what they are. I accept them. And I'm like, I move on. You know, I just, if I'm wrong about something, I come out and apologize. And I'm really sorry. And that's, people know me, know who I am. If I'm not wrong, I'm going to stand there and say, you guys are not wrong. I am not wrong. Then you, this is something that is bad. And if I'm wrong, I always apologize. And I don't mind accepting that sometimes I'm wrong or I'm right, because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about my need to be right. It's not about, you know, taking companies down if, you know, we ever, you know, do, you know, activations based on stuff like that and help out with campaigns. And it's not about that. For me, it's about changing the grocery aisle. And when I do my activism, this is literally what I'm seeing. I am seeing that woman with her kids going down the grocery aisle, okay? And I'm imagining her not knowing a damn thing about health and wellness. And 10 years from now, she's going down the aisle, putting things in her cart that are better for her because of the activism we have done today. And she knows nothing about what we did, and she doesn't care. And that's the point. She gets to live her life and not care and benefit from what we're doing today. And we're just like ghosts, you know? And she doesn't have to worry. That is what I want to do. I want to be the change maker and the force, bringing all the community and the people to help that happen so that we can take a little bit of ownership and understanding that her health in the future is a little better because of what we're doing today. Her children are safer because of what we're doing today. That's what really fuels what I do, changing that grocery store aisle, helping and promoting and working with brands that are doing the right thing, encouraging people to vote with their dollar, encouraging influencers to vote with their dollar and their tweet. You know what I'm saying? To really direct the money to the guys who we want to have the future. It's like, who do you really want to be in charge in the future? That's where you give your money to. So if you give your money to something you don't like, then you're contributing to what you don't like. If you give your money to something that you enjoy and you're passionate about, that is the future you're creating. And at the end of the day, this all really has to do with money. You know, like these big companies, they lose out on money. They want that market share back. So they change because it's about what the consumers want. So as at the end of the day, I really, really, really enjoy making better choices for people. And it all goes back to that feeling that I had. You know, I would walk through the grocery store when I was losing weight. And then when I first started paying attention to the ingredients in the food, because, you know, it was different because at first I was looking at calories and weight and sodium and all that stuff. And then I started reading ingredients and Googling what they were. And I have a master's degree in communication management, which means I am a professional communicator of anything. So you throw me in the room with anything, I can figure it out and communicate it. That is what I'm trained in doing. And I've been doing it my whole life, you know, in every job that I've had as a professional. So someone like me, you know, it's perfect for me to be able to organize and help make this change happen by will and also by understanding the fact that this has nothing to do with me and this isn't about me. This is about other people and it's about the community that we create. So I really can't really take very much credit in stuff happening, you know. What I can take credit in helping organize, but the job is done by the influencers and their community, you know, and my community. It's people beyond me that are really, really changing the grocery store, that are really changing the way we view lifestyle and weight loss and fitness and how we have changed the way we view products like shampoo and conditioner and, you know, food especially. And I'm also very positive about the future because the millennial audience just is awesome. You know, they're about 25% of my audience, ironically, even though I'm like their older sister, I'm like generation Y. They love me. And to this generation is so much different than, you know, the baby boomers when they were hippies. Like it's like our parents, they were hippies and then they went on and decided that money was the best thing since sliced bread. And then they did the stuff in the 80s and yada, yada, yada. Everything changed. But these millennials are a different type of person. They really are centered on what is important to them, what their mission is, what makes them sing. And they purchase things based on that. And they really have a grapple on that understanding that they can change the world based on what they do. And that's one of their biggest, or what they don't do. And that's one of their biggest contributions as a community and as a generation. And I love that. And I'm really, really excited that they're going to take the helm one day because we've done a great job of screwing up everything. And yeah. But again, in social media, because your people are listening to this, so obviously they're into social media. Without social media, we would not have what we have today. It's the age of where anybody with a great idea can win out over a corporation with billions of dollars. It's about the people first. It's about our needs. You know, it's about our likes. It's about who we are and who we want to like more. So it's like, there's a guy and he's a little person and he does motivational videos. And I can't remember what his name is, but that guy would not be around and we wouldn't be blessed by what he says if we didn't have social media. You know what I'm saying? And this guy talks about confidence. Who better to talk about confidence than a guy that's like, you know, less than 4 feet tall? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, who better to tell us really about what types of things are important with confidence? And I just, you know, I love what I do. I love the industry that I'm in. I love the community I've surrounded myself with. I love being able to impact and change people's lives for the better. And I love being a pain in the ass to companies that don't do a good job. And that's,
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. For everybody that's listening, to pay attention. And Leah, it's true. You know, we're going to talk about this when Leah's back on the show. There's a lot more to dive into as far as this is very broad, you know, the non-GMO movement, you know, better quality food. And what you said earlier, Leah, is very true. And I know, because I used to be one of those people, you think it's kind of like people, you'll hear people saying, and we're not discussing politics, but people talk about the election or any election. I'm not talking about just today, but you feel I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't count. Well, guess what? What Leah said earlier is very true. You are voting, I'm using air quotes, every day with your pocketbook. And if you think for 1 second, like I used to, that your opinions don't matter because you might think they're not mainstream or that you starting to buy organic or pay attention, like that's actually going to make the accessibility and the availability of better high quality food in the grocery stores happen, you are mistaken if that's what you think. Because what I can tell you from a business perspective, start doing some Googling. Some of the biggest CPG companies around, if you don't know what CPG is, consumer packaged goods, some of the biggest companies out there that have been around for dozens, decades, you know, hundreds of years, some of them, they are experiencing huge, colossal losses. They're shutting down plants all over the country.
Yes.
I know both, and this is public information, so this is not a criticism, this is just an observation. Both of the big soda companies in the country have had 30% or more losses in their diet soda category. The CPG companies with soups, with packaged foods, whatever. And the difference is there are some, quite a lot of them, and reluctantly probably, but many of them are finally going, okay, this is where things are going. People are buying more organic. People are becoming label readers. We are seeing it's hitting them where it hurts on the bottom line.
And it's the millennials. It's driven by the millennials and the millennial moms, and then the moms like me, and then the WOD guys, the fitness guys, you know, the gadget wearers. It's incredible. But it's not a fad. It's a trend, and they're seeing it and they're changing. And I think we have a list somewhere on momovation.com, my website, where we listed like all of the food brand changes in the last 2-3 years. And it's like brand after brand after brand, from General Mills and Kellogg's taking artificial preservatives and additives out of their cereal by 2008. I mean, those kind of things, to, you know, Subway taking things out, you know, McDonald's doing antibiotic-free chicken nuggets. I mean, it's incredible how many things are changing so quickly. And it's because these companies see the writing on the wall. They know that if they don't move, they're going to lose market share. They do not want to lose market share. They want to be part of this. And also the other thing I think we need to remember, and this is really important, and this is something that I agree with Robin O'Brien with, and her and I see eye to eye on this. Because Robin and O'Brien and I started in a very different world where we were conservative, we worked, you know, around Republicans, and we saw that side of the world, which is different than the environmentalist side. Because we've had that background, we understand that people are people everywhere. They have families, they struggle, we're all the same. And so there's all of these people inside these big food companies that are really wanting this change really badly. An example of what I can tell you, a specific brand that I work with, they've decided to go non-GMO with their feed, and that's Danone. I've been working with Stonyfield for 6-7 years, and they brought me in to help Danone because Danone is taking GMO feed out of their system for their cows. And this is such an incredible, and I can't even tell you, an incredible change. It has rocked the industry. And they're only like, I would say, 9% of dairy in the U.S., but yet their name and their reach is so big that this has shaken the industry, the opposition to the core. But when the CEO, Mariano Lozano, when he announced this to his staff, they applauded and stood up. So that gives you an idea of it's not just us out here in the world. And think of those big bad companies. Those big bad companies have real people in them that want this as well, you know? And that gives you an example that he got that applause. And that made him feel really good, you know, that he was doing the right thing. It was something that we all believed in and we all share this value. Now, we argue based on why we do the change, you know, and I think like Danone is like, this is about consumers and this is about doing what the consumer wants and this is about respecting them and their desires. You know, another company would be like, no. You know, but Danone is actually dynamic. Another company that I see that's very dynamic is General Mills. See, things that I see from General Mills are very dynamic, where they're, you know, helping increase organic agriculture, organic farmland in the United States. They're helping with that as a big company. And I got to say, and they just bought Epic, and there's a little story behind Epic, which is really interesting. And I know this secondhand, but I've heard this from the horse's mouth. When General Mills bought Epic, what those guys were able to do, and this is a grass-fed jerky product, right? So most of your people, I'm sure, paleo, they love it.
I love them.
They are one of my favorite brands. We don't have them at ShiftCon. I wish they weren't able to come because of the timing. But you hear these guys talk about, you know, why they went with General Mills. The second they went with General Mills, he was able to go out to all of these grass-fed farmlands and say to them, do not sell your herd. I want it, and I will pay you to keep them on grass. And he was never able to say that before. It was really hard to get the supply. But because he had the backing of General Mills, everybody went absolutely, because they trust in they trust that company because it's a big company, will pay out. You know what I'm saying? So you're now bringing in these big brands, now makes these conventional farmers, you know, look at this in a different way. Because once those big guys get into the game, it means security for their family. You know, trusting a little fly-by-night organic company with your family, not so much. Trusting a big company with my family, okay, they've got more resources. It's kind of like, think about it, think it out. We only have right now, we have less than 1% agricultural farmland. I think we're closer to 4%, 0.04% right now. Having those big guys get into the game, to me, works on that 1%, because the vast majority of the farmland that we have is conventional. Those guys are just like you and me. You know, they have children, they have grandkids, they have, you know, they all this stuff going on, they have life happening. They're no different. You have to make this worth their while. And I think the big companies getting in the game, to me, gets that picture from, you know, less than 1% to closer to what I think it should be, which is like 15-20% is what I would love to see. You know, that's that part of it. And why did I go on this train wreck of a topic? I can't even remember what my point was, Kelly.
Because when you're passionate, I mean, I can be accused of the same thing all the time, but when you are passionate and you have something, and it's funny because I do want to tie this down because we have to close for today, but we will take some of these specific topics and address them in future segments together. But Leah, just think about the fact that, and for those listening, when Leah started her weight loss journey, she was not this person. She was not this person physically, but she was also not this person who was focused on activism. That came later.
That was way later.
What I love, Yeah. What I love about your fitness story is you don't have this 30-day overnight success. I think that's going to hit home with a lot of women. I'm just kind of wrapping it up for today and hitting and giving people a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about next time. So you had a really sensible, let's take baby steps, a great weight loss story. And then through that, which I think this is what we'll see a lot on the show, but just in both of our communities, in people that start taking care of their mind and their bodies, it bleeds over into other areas. You want to take more care of your spiritual life, your financial life, your professional life. You want to have a better
community
life.
Right.
Yeah. And you also want to give back.
You want to give
people
back.
People that start, well, I mean, you and I both know this from a fitness perspective. People that have figured out how to make, to reach those goals they couldn't before, they want to share with everybody. So one of the things that you'll see, I mean, obviously, Leah started down the weight loss road. She discovered things that were important to her from a food quality perspective. She dove in, has made a massive impact on the space. I have mad respect for her. And now it's something that, again, I remember somebody said to me about, it was at South by Southwest, and I was still using a BlackBerry, and I was just about to switch to iPhone. And people gave me crap because I love my BlackBerry phone for so long. And I'm not going to lie. I still wish they made that with the tactile keyboard stuff.
Yeah,
I loved my BlackBerry.
Well, you have the nails too, so it's easier on you when you had the nails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But somebody said to me, they realized like I was finally getting rid of my BlackBerry and going to iPhones. And I remember somebody said to me, they go, oh, you're the type of customer that BlackBerry, when they lose someone like you, and we all know what has happened to, again, not to point any figures, this is factual. It's like Blockbuster. I mean, look what happened to some of these companies. In the GMO space, in the quality food space, again, every day, what you do, you are voting with your pocketbook. And trust me, when you're somebody like me, who used to be that diet soda, artificial sweetener, I carry the yellow packets in my purse all the time. I used to have bright blue pre-workouts that tasted like Kool-Aid. And I'm like, yay! And now I'm that person that understands what all of that does. And I'm sharing that with others. It is making an impact. And so what, again, we want people to do with these podcasts is I'm not telling you what to believe. We are not telling you what to believe. I'm not telling you what to eat, how to work out. I'm telling you, open your eyes and start becoming your own health advocate. Start paying attention. And especially when it comes to what you're putting on your body, in your homes, in what you're eating, what you're feeding your kids, it matters and you can make change. So I hope that this interview, with Leah got you fired up. It's just a preview. Leah is going to be back on the show and we're going to start branching off into some of these specifically. How did you start getting involved in non-GMOs in the food space? What did that look like? And what are the milestones that have happened there? And then secondly, how did you start branching out? Because I know you're very active in other areas, toxins in the home. And these are all topics that we should all be aware of. So number one, great starting interview, Leah. I love what you said. We'll have the show notes. We've got your bio. But in conclusion for today, tell people that have heard this first interview with you, where's the best place for them to connect with you on social media?
So if you go to on Twitter, I'm at bookieboo.com, BOOKIEBOO. You can also find me Momavation on Facebook, which is spelled MAMAVATION. Lots of news impact that we do there. We cover the food industry and stuff. And then we also, I've got Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I'm loving Instagram right now. And Instagram, I'm Bookieboo, BOOKIEBOO. But I'm on Instagram and Facebook the most. Those are my two most platforms. So, but yeah, connect with me. And I love making friends.
Again, Leah, thank you for being on the show. Everybody, we'd love to hear your comments. Any questions as well that you have for Leah and I to address specifically as we start, diving deeper into some of these issues that are going on in the food activism space, please let us know. You can let us know either as you review.
Oh, one last thing, Kelly, just one last thing. I hate to interrupt you. ShiftCon Social Media is where you can hang out with me and my community in person. And if you go to shiftconmedia.com. We're having a conference in New Orleans from the 1st to the 3rd of December, and you will learn everything you want to know about growing your platform and making it bigger as an influencer. You'll have around 60 natural and organic brands around you and just a ton of love to do, what we're doing. Sorry.
And we'll be there.
Yeah.
No, it's I'm used to, Leah, I interrupt you. You interrupt me all the time. We're used to,
so, strong women interrupt.
That's true. It's true. But yeah, you guys, if you have questions for us, number one, look up ShiftCon. We will be there with the Fit Financial Radio podcast. And then secondly, if you have questions, you can let us know one of two places. If you go to iTunes and you're writing a review, we do read every single one of those reviews, and we certainly would appreciate the reviews. That helps us rise in the ranks and bring you more news and reach more people. And then number two, on fitfluentialradio.com, on this episode, feel free to leave comments. We encourage comments. We want to make this your podcast. And then this way, when I have Leah back on the show, we can answer your questions. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Leah, you're awesome. We will be back with our next episode. I need bulletproof coffee. And we will see you then. Thanks everybody.
Thanks everyone.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.